Kei Rabosai. Let's start with the question of Maleches Tzedah, which I think is a very unique malacha, and that'll lead us to discussions about Maleches Mechabe, about Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa that we started 2 days ago. The Rambam is in Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Hei. So if you can open up, if you have the Rambam. Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Hei. The Rambam says the following: Remosim hamazikim kigon nechoshim v'akravim v'chayotze ben afal pi she'ein memisim. So the Rambam says there's no issue of pikuach nefesh here. Hoil v'noshim, but nevertheless they do bite. Mutar latzud osam b'shabbos. There's no issue saved on shabbos. And you can trap them. But the Rambam adds a condition. He says, "Vehu, that's only she is kaven lehinotzel minishrichasam." He's got to have in mind that the reason he's doing this malacha is because he wants to save himself from the shicha,
from being bitten.
From being bitten. Excellent. And the Rambam goes on to tell you exactly how he gives you a recommendation how to accomplish this. Now, the source of this Rambam, as the Magid Mishnah points out, is a braisa on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. So let's take a look on Daf Kuf Zayin for a second. And it says over there, this is the last piece in Perek HaOreg, Hatzad Nochash B'Shabbos, Imis Asik Bo Shaloy Shakano, Potter. Then the Gemara says that not only are you Potter in this case, but it's Potter Mutter. Disnan, we have a Mishnah. Kofin, Kara, Al Haner, Bishvil, Shaloti Yoches, Bekora, etc., Al Akrab, Shaloti Noshek. So, amongst the various exceptions to the rule that whenever the Mishnah uses the term Potter, it means Potter Avalasar, one of the exceptions is this case of Tzad Nochosh, and the Gemara explains, as we'll soon see, that this is similar to another case earlier in the sugya where they were mate bishum sar. In other words, even though on a doraisa level it should be potur avol asur, but nevertheless they were mate the isid rabbanon b'makom sar.
What does that say?
That's going to be the previous sugya. We'll get to it soon. So now I want to ask you the following question, and this is basically the question of the Magid Mishnah. If you take a look at the Gemara a little bit weiter, at the beginning of Shmona Shrotzim, and that's here on Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara establishes that why is this mutter? Hodisnan, this is about 10 lines up from the bottom of Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, Hatzad Nochash B'Shabbos Im Mis'asik Bo Kidei Shalo Yishachenu Potur Mantana. And the Gemara says that this is according to Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because in the case of Tzedah, when you have a Malachat Tzricha Legufa, means you want to capture the animal. Here, he's not in the least bit interested in capturing the animal. So that's called a Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon allows you, on a Doraisa level, in a case where you're not interested in trapping the animal and taking the animal for yourself, but that becomes potu avalosur. But here, b'makom tzar lo gozru bei rabban. Now the question becomes obvious. The Magid Mishnah is going to ask this question. Not here, but in a different Rambam. He refers to this Rambam. We'll see in a second. Frankly, Magid Mishnah, this doesn't make any sense. How could the Rambam, at the end here of Perek Yud, allowed Tzedas Nochosh, when the Rambam himself in Perek Aleph Halacha in Halacha Zayin, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that Kol Ha'osem Halacha B'Shabbos Afal Pisha Ein Tzarech Legufa Shal Halacha Chayav Aleha. Now, the only reason the Rabbanon were able to be matir Tzedas Nochosh is because, in the worst case scenario, it's potter avalasa because of Rav Shimon and Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa. How then does the Rambam have the luxury of paskening that Seydus Nachash is mutter, since the Rambam is committed to the position that Malach Shein Tzrich L'Guf is Chayev? The Rabbani can't be mater in Issa Dorais unless it was Pikuach Nefesh. But the Rambam himself went out of his way to tell you, Afal Pishayim Mimisim. So that's the Kasha of the Magid Mishnah. Now on this Kasha, Reb Chaim has a lot of Torah. And basically, Reb Chaim wants to claim that he reads the Rambam totally differently. That when the Rambam says that he's miskaven lihinatzel min shichasam, that makes it into a davar she'ena miskaven. Now, what's the position of the Rambam on davar she'ena miskaven? So that depends. If it's not a psik resha, then it's mutter. But if it's a psik resha, then you're chayav, because Moder Reb Shimon, even though Reb Shimon is the Baal Hashit of davar she'ena miskaven, part of mutter, but that's only if there's no psik resha. But Moder Reb Shimon, the psik resha of lo yomus. So here the Rambam tells you, kofa all of us are kli. He's putting a kli on top of the nachash. Obviously, it's a psik resha. So how could Reb Chaim claim that the Rambam here is not based on Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, which wouldn't help the Rambam, but rather on Davar She'ena Miskaven? Says Reb Chaim, here it's called a psik resha delo nichol. And the Rambam holds like the Shita Sa'aruch that psik resha delo nichole is pot, or maybe even mutter. Now, there are a whole bunch of questions on this Reb Chaim. First of all, how is Reb Chaim going to justify the sugya? The sugya itself says that the heter of Tzedes Nachash is based on Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Secondly, where does Reb Chaim know that the Rambam holds like the Aruch, that psik resha delo nichole is mutter, like the Aruch? I don't know of any source for that. Thirdly, the Rambam here is not talking about Eina Miskaven. The Rambam is talking about a Maisa Tzedah. You know, you can talk about an Eina Miskaven if I do one Maisa, like for example, Greira, and as a result of the Greira, there's Asiyas Charitzim, and I might be Chayef Charisha. So you could say, it's a Dover She'ena Miskaven. But here, you can only talk about what the purpose is. Is he interested in the Nachash, or is he interested in saving himself? What's that called? Tzrich L'Gufa or Eina Tzrich L'Gufa? So there are a couple of questions here on Reb Chaim that we have, but in any event, that's the approach of Reb Chaim. Today, I wanted to try to investigate with you another possible way of understanding the Rambam. I'll just make a shakol bruchat hodi noyle machom shakol nevedvar. Let's open up a Rambam in Perik Yud Halacha Chaf Aleph. The Rambam says, with regard to Tzedah, that we're talking about, number one, Shmona Shrotzim Hamurim B'Torah. Those Shrotzim are subject to Tzedah. And Shar Shrotzim V'Ramasim Sheyesh B'Minon Tzedah. In other words, that normally you would capture these Shrotzim and Ramasim. We'll see the source for the Rambam in just a minute. The Rambam says that if you capture one of these various categories or species of shrotzim, then the Rambam says, chayev. Now watch what the Rambam does over here. He adds four words that I want to call to your attention. Hoil v'niskaven lotzud litzotzad v'tzot. What does the Rambam add here? There's one key word here, obviously. Which word? Kavana. Hoil v'niskaven. He had kavan. Now here I don't understand. Why does the Rambam feel compelled to add kavan? To add kavan a lot. So Zion, even if I grant you, he did not have kavan a lot. But he did a maisit seidah. And even if you'll tell me, davar she'ena miskaven, etc., etc. But here it's certainly a psik resha. I mean, again, the Rambam doesn't spell out that it's a psik resha, but he's talking about a case of tzad. He's not talking about a case where he does something and maybe he'll capture it, maybe he won't capture it. The pashtus is that he's doing tzedah. So in other words, why does the Rambam need to add that he's miskaven lotzud, pshita that he's chayev, even if he wasn't miskaven lotzud, because this is a case of a psik resha.
So, that's strange enough.
No, I'm saying like this. He's saying that even if he doesn't need the sheretz, let's say he's going to save himself from the sheretz, nevertheless, he would be chayev. So he's chayev mimonavshach. He's chayev number one because he had kavana lotzud, and he's chayev even if you'll tell me that he didn't want to take the sheretz home. You know, he's not a sheretz collector. But my question is, as far as the first point of the Rambam, why did the Rambam feel compelled to add this condition that he was miskaven lots? So in order to answer this question, I want to show you a very fascinating Magid Mishnah. Let's open up to Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis. We're going through some nice, interesting Rambams today. The Rambam is talking about a case of Mechaber, a very unique case of Mechaber, which is called Gacheles Shel Mateches. Now, what's this Mechaber all about? You have a very hot piece of metal, and you take that metal and you extinguish the heat. You put it into water, cold water. And the Rambam says that he's chayv for Mechaber. Why is he chayv Mechaber? So Rambam says, because niskaven litzarif. Okay, I'm not sure the physics. I'm not getting into it now. I always leave the physics for you gentlemen to work out on your own. But apparently when you take mateches and you heat it up, the cooling off process strengthens the mateches. And now you make a kli. Until now it was a little bit, shall we say, flexible, malleable. Now it became fixed. So comes along the Magid Mishnah, and he says that mitzarif is chayav mishum meleches, what's it called? Mechaber, right? Mechaber. And he says the following. He says that in this case, the Rambam added a condition. And this is what, you know, the caught the eye, so to speak, of the Magid Mishnah. The Rambam says, im niskaven litzarif chayav. In other words, the Rambam makes a condition here. When are you chayev for creating a kli by doing an act of kibui? That's only if you have kavana. So the Magid Mishnah wants to know, what is this? What is this kavana business? I mean, if he's mitzarif the kli, he takes it and he puts it into the cold water, whatever he does with it, then you don't have to add the fact that he's miskaven. And he says the following, that according to the Rambam, you would only be mechayev mishum kibui, in this case of mitzarev, if you had kavana. If you didn't have kavana, that's not considered meleches mechaber. And he has a very interesting equation here. He says, it's similar to the case of ktimas kisam, when he cuts down this piece of wood, and as a result, he has what's called tikkun kli. The Rambam says that he's chayev only if he has kavana for tikkun kli. And then it's considered like he made a kli. So the Magid Mishnah basically says the following, that we have two cases in which you're chayev in two different malachas respectively for tikkun kli, for creating a kli. One is called mitzarif mishum mechaber, and the other is called Ktimas Kisam, where he's chai for creating a kli, and that's Meleches Makim Apatish. What's common to both these cases, says the Magid Mishnah, in both these cases the Rambam adds a condition. And what's that condition? He has to have kavana. It's not enough to say that he did the Maisa and as a result it's going to happen and it's a psikresha, etc., etc. He must have kavana. In other words, the fact that you are doing a maisa that creates the kli, and you have no interest in creating the kli, that's not an automatic mechayev. Even though it's a psikresha, he says, there's a tnai in meleches mechaber, in this case of mitzarev, there's a tnai in meleches asiyas kli for makim apatish, and what is that tnai? Kavana. In other words, according to the Magid Mishnah, it comes out that we have two malachas which have kavana not as an extraneous and external condition, but rather the kavana defines the malach itself. It's a tnai in the gufa shel malach. If you don't have that kavana, then you haven't created a kli. If you don't have kavani, not chayev mishum machabe, in the case of mitzarev, or mishum makav apatish, in the case of asiyas kesa. So now, if the Rambam, according to the Magid Mishnah, is adding the phrase Anshi is Kavin in order to teach me that this malach is different than other malachas, and that kavana is a precondition to the malacha, let's go back to the Rambam at the end of Perek Yud, and let's see if we can take the methodology of the Magid Mishnah and apply it here. The Rambam says that when is he chayav for maleches tseida? That all depends. Did he have kavana lihi notzel, or did he kavana lotzud? If he had kavana lotzud, then the Rambam says there's no way, no how that we can be martyred. But if on the other hand his kavana was lihi notzel, so we ask the question, okay, so he had kavana lihi notzel, but he's doing a maisa seidah, he's taking a kli, and kofal anochash is a kli, there's no question that he's going to do maleches seidah. Why does the Rambam say no? It's an animus kavan. So the Magid Mishnah understood that the Rambam meant it's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, and therefore he asked the question, well, that's not going to help the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is chayav. Reb Chaim understood that this is a dama shein miskamen. So then we asked the question, okay, it's a dama shein miskamen, but it's a psik ratio, so he introduces the shita zarach, it's lo nichale. And I'm not sure exactly why it's lo nichale over here, but let's assume Reb Chaim is right. The other alternative would be to say that what the Rambam is saying here has nothing to do with Dovah Sheinu Miskavim. What the Rambam has in mind is Meleches Tzeda, that is a definition that's inherent in Meleches Tzeda, just like we saw in the cases of Mechabe, Metzarif Mishu Mechabe, or the case of Asiyas Kli in Meleches Makav Apatish, where the Tanai is that you have Kavanah. It's the Kavanah that makes the Malach into a Malach. Here too, in Malachas Tzeda, it's the Kavanah that makes the Tzeda into a Tzeda. Why is that so? Let's just think about that for a minute. So for this, I want to show you a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Vav Amid Beis. The Gemara says, at the end of Perek HaOreg, that you're only chayev for meleches tzeda if it's a dovar shebemino nitzot. And in fact, we saw the Rambam, let's see it again, that the Rambam says in Perek Yud Aloch of Aleph, Echad Shmona Shrotzim, Echad Shah Shrotzim, Sheyesh Beminom Tzeda, Sheyesh Beminom Tzeda.
You can trust him.
That they're usually subject to tzeda. That's what people do. Now, this person does a tzeda, albeit it's on a davar shebevino nitzod, but he's not interested in the tzeda. So the Rambam has an amazing chiddush over here. The Rambam is extrapolating, he's saying the following, that although Beminom Nitzod or Ein Beminom Nitzod is an objective question, an objective category. The Rambam says this also a subjective question of Nitzod or Eino Nitzod. And your Kavana is going to make it into a Nitzod. So there are two conditions in Nitzod. Number one, you have to know if in general the Min itself lends itself to be a Nitzod. And number two, even if I grant you in Tintzalomer that it is Bimino Nitzod, I need something else to make it into a Nitzod. And what's that? Kavana. His Kavana makes it into Mino Nitzod. If he makes a declaration, I'm not interested in this Nachash, I'm not selling it to a zoo, I just want to protect myself from the Shicha, then it becomes, on a subjective level, ein b'mino nitzot. Because he's declaring that he's not interested in seidah. So we see that the fact that the object, in this case the Baal Chai, lends itself to seidah, that makes it into meleches seidah. How do I accomplish that goal of making the animal into a Dabrat Nitzot, into something that lends itself to Tzedah, two conditions have to be met. Most people would be interested in Tzedah, and he's interested in Tzedah. But if he's not interested in Tzedah, even if everybody else might be interested in Tzedah, the Rambam says that's like Ein B'mino, B'mino Nitzot.
And that's only by Tzad and not by any other Malach, because...
I want to add two other Malachs. Number one, Malachas Makav Patish, and number two, Malachas Mechaba. At least in the case of Mitzaref. I'm not sure if you'd say this about every case of Mechabe. You know, there may be a Mechabe where I don't care about his Kavanah. But in the case of creating a Kli, says the Magid Mishnah, when are you creating the Kli? When you're interested in creating the Kli. You know, it reminds us of Hilchas Tuvah V'Tara. When is a Kli Mekabel Tuvah? If I wanted to use it as a Kli, if I designate it as a Kli. So we have this designation of, I want to create a Kli. If I'm interested in creating a Kli, that could be Meleches Mechava in certain situations, that could be Meleches Makav Patish in other situations. So we have two Melechas, which the Magid Mishnah goes on record, require Kavanah. And that has nothing to do with the issue of Dom Shechem Skavin, whether you're Chayav or you're Potter. Even if I would grant you that Dom Shechem Skavin is Chayav, but in these Melechas, the Melech itself is engendered, is generated by what? By his Kavana. Now we're adding a third Melecha to the list. And that's Meleches Tzedah. Meleches Tzedah requires Kavana. And that's why the Rambam went out of his way to say that since in the case of Kafa ala Nachash Sakli, he doesn't have Kavana for Tzedah, he's not interested in the Tzedah, says the Rambam, that's not Meleches Tzedah. And if this be the case, Rabosai, then maybe we can possibly add another Rambam into the equation. Let's take a look at Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Beis. Now the Rambam is talking about Halacha Yud Zayin. Now the Rambam is talking about Meleches. Okay, I'm afraid to say Makam Patish, although the Rambam does say Makam Patish, but the other Rishonim learn it's Meleches Bonus. So, without getting, you know, again, this will be relevant to your question, you feel, but, you know, let's go step by step before we get into the Machlokas, whether we're talking about Meleches Bonus in Mafis Mursa or Meleches Makam Patish. What does the Rambam say? Hamafis Shchin B'Shabbos.
He drains the boil.
Now, what happens when you drain the boil?
It shrinks.
Well, first of all, you remove the pus. That's called draining. And what happens to the boil itself?
It shrinks.
Okay, I don't know about shrinking. Maybe it does shrink. But more important, it creates an opening. And that apparently, from a dermatological perspective, is very beneficial because now the air comes in and it begins a healing process. Now, creating this opening, since it is a positive feature, is called a malacha on Shabbos. So now the Rambam wants to know, under what circumstances can I allow mafis mursa? So the Rambam says the following, kidei or kidei. Okay? What does the word kidei mean?
In order to.
What do you say? Yeah, in order to. But what does it mean conceptually in terms of our discussion of today? Kavana. The word kidei is identical with the word kavana. So what was his kavana when he pierces this boil? If it's number one, laharchiv pi hamaka, that means he wants to have that opening in his body. The Rambam even says that's the way the Rofim do it. Okay, the Ram has a unique shita here. He's chayav mishum makav patish. But in hifisa, I'm going to add a word to the Ram kaviyochel. I don't mean to change the gears, but kidei lahotzi vivedo lecha. In other words, here he's motivated not to create a pesach kiderech harofim, but rather to just relieve the pressure of this, the built up pressure of what, of the lecha. Is hareze mut. And the source for this Rambam is again the Sugya Kuf Zion that we saw before. And the Gemara says, B'makom tzar lo gozu be'rabot. So here, if you take a look at the Magid Mishnah, he asks the obvious question. The Gemara says, on Daf Kuf Zion, that the reason why we're going to allow Mafis Mursa Kedei Lahotzi Ben Alecha is because the Malach Hashem Yitzricha Lugufei doesn't need the Pesach, but the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halach Zayin Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, Malach Hashem Yitzricha Lugufei is Chayav. So I would like to ask another question. And sometimes one question answers another question. I'm hoping that's what I'm betting on here today. The Rambam says it all depends on what his Kavanah is. Apparently, if the Rambam says it depends what his Kavanah is, what does that imply in terms of the actual Pesach?
He's got a choice.
No, you don't understand what I'm suggesting. The Rambam vacillates back and forth about the following proviso, the following condition. The Rambam wants to know, he's doing this action. Is it Kedei X, meaning Lasos Lopek, Keder Harofim, or is it Kedei Y, he's only interested in removing the Lechem? But what apparently do you see from this Rambam, if it all depends upon this question of what he has in his mind? Oh, okay, Mitch, you're already a step ahead of Mishkayot. No, that's what I want to get to, but I was just trying to sort of lead you, you know, seduce you into my turf here. What I'm saying is that whenever the Rambam describes a scenario, and then he says it depends what his Kavanah was with X or Y, what do I know about that scenario? What do I know about the fact that when he removes the Lecha, what is he doing in reality? I'm not talking about in his mind, but what happens in the empirical reality, right? I'm not talking about his mindset.
Sammy?
Correct, he's doing what? In this case, what is he doing? That's what I want to get at. He's creating what? I'm not talking about the mud. He's creating a Pesach. So follow what's going on here. The Rambam's saying that this man is creating a Pesach. But it depends, would he be Chayav? And he's going to get skila for it. Well, on the contrary, it's mutter. So Rambam says it depends on his kidei, what I call the kavan. I don't get it. If he's creating a Pesach, then he's chayav. What are you going to tell me? Malach Hashem Yitzricha L'gufa. The Rambam holds that Malach Hashem Yitzricha L'gufa is chayav. So the only possibility is to say that it's a Dovr Sheni Miskamen. But what do you mean a Dovr Sheni Miskamen? Who cares if it's a Dovr Sheni Miskamen? It's a psik reisha. The Rambam is describing a situation where he's making a Pesach. The answer is, says Mitch, that maybe we have another case of a Malacha. Again, according to the Magid Mishnah, this is not really another Malacha because the Magid Mishnah already said it in the case where he whittles down the piece of wood in order to make a Kisam, that if he had Kavanah to create this Kisam, then he'd be Chayav from Malachas Makav Apakish because he's creating a Kli. Here also, he's not creating a Kli per se. I wouldn't say it's a Kli this Pesach, but it's similar to a Kli. And the Rambam says that's called Makav Apakish. But the answer is that it all depends on his Kavanah. The only problem is going to be, what are we going to do with the Sugya? The Sugya says that all these heterim of Tzad Nachash, or for example, Machis Mursa, Lotzim and Alecha, it's all predicated on Reb Shimon. And the author of this Mishnah would be Reb Shimon, who holds Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa is Potter. But if I hold like Reb Yehuda, namely, Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa is Chayav, then we cannot be Matir, says the Gemara, Machis Mursa. We cannot be Matir, say that's Nachash. But why not? This has nothing to do with the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa. All we're saying here is that in Maleches Tzeda, if you're not interested in the Tzeda per se, you have no interest in grabbing onto this animal, or in the case of Machlis Mursa, you have no interest in creating the Pesach, you just want to get the Lecha out of there, then that's not called Makam Apatish, that's not called Maleches Tzeda. Why can't Rabbi Yehuda, even if he holds Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa is Chayav, why can't he accept this definition of Maleches Tzeda? Again, I'm looking at your faces and I see I haven't pedagogically succeeded. What I'm trying to clarify is that this sugya of Machlis Mursa and Tzad Nachash has nothing to do neither with Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa nor with Dovr Sheni Miskamen. It's totally irrelevant to both. And neither of those sugyas, of those classical halachic principles in the Shabbos, will help you over here. Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa is not going to help you because the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. And Dovr Sheni Miskamen is not going to help you because we're talking about what? A psik reisha. Now we have a new category that certain malachas require kavanah by their very nature. The essence of the malach is generated not by the physical reality of tikkun. That's first condition. But the second condition is that that tikkun has to be something that you wanted to create. If you were interested in creating that tikkun, because now you have a wonderful snake, you know, now you can hang it up on the thing for, you know, for Klal Yisrael to look at while they're battling on Moloch, or you put it in the zoo and people pay money to see the snake. That's wonderful. But what makes that tikkun into a tikkun? The fact that you're interested in it. What makes the kli into a kli, and therefore you chayv from makom patish, the pesach into a pesach, because you want to make it into a kli. That's what makes the malacha into the malacha. And the Magid Mishnah applies this reasoning by mitzarev. He extends it to the case of osek kisav, and now we're applying it to the case of lahotzi men alecha as far as creating a pesach, or tzedas nachash as far as the tzeda of the nachash. So that in all these cases, kavana is a precondition in the malacha. But Ribbono Shel Olam, if that be the case, we're not going down this path, nor this path, then what does it have to do with Rabbi Yehuda? Why does the Gemara commit Rabbi Yehuda to say that tzedas nachash is chayav or mafis mursa is chayav?
And why is it limited to just these two halachas? You can say make the same argument in any halacha that yes, the kavana because otherwise.
In other words,
it's not.
In other words, we're looking at the Mishkan and we're saying in the Mishkan, why did they do tzeda? Were they protecting themselves from some sort of mazik? In the Mishkan, what they were doing in tzeda was an act of tzeda. Protecting myself from an animal is not called tzeda. Or for example, makom patish. Right, again, I'm not going into the question of Kalim per se. Leave that on the side. But let's assume that your classical makom patish is creating a kli. What do you mean creating a kli? I'm not creating a kli. I need this thing not as a kli. I need it to protect myself. It's not a kli. And I determine whether or not I'm creating something new.
But I'm saying you can use the same argument. Let's say Yechofer and Enosuf Ela Afra. Now the Mishkan, right, when they dug, they were doing Harisha. This guy's not doing Harisha. He doesn't want Harisha. He doesn't really care about the whole.
So
but the Rambam holds, he's chayv.
Yeah, because I look at the karka, and I say there's a tikkun in the karka. But in the case of tzeda, the tikkun is that I'm holding on to an animal. But if nobody would want this animal, and even if I don't want this animal, I'm not really holding on to the animal. In other words, the malach of tzeda, by its definition, is to control the animal. I'm not controlling the animal. If I could protect myself without controlling the animal, that would be fine. If I could fly up to the moon, that would be just as good. In makom patish also. What makes it to makom patish? The fact that you've created a kli. Is this called creating a kli? Is it not called creating a kli? So that's the Magid Mishnah in makom patish, and now we're extending it to include saint. But it's a beautiful pshat in the Rambam, but I just don't understand why the sugya excludes Rabbi Yehuda from this whole shtickle Torah. Okay, Rabbi, so let's leave this question on the side. Maybe we'll come back to it. What am I up to here? Oh, I'm up to a sugya Masechta Beitzah. Okay, then let's open up Masechta Beitzah. Gemara is talking about a beehive in Masechta Beitzah. I have it here somewhere under this whole pile. Oh, we got it. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. Parson machzeles al gabi kaveres dvorim b'shaks. So he puts some sort of a net on top of the dvorim, and that's going to protect the dvorim from either the hot sun in the summertime or from the rains in the wintertime. And then the Brisa adds a stipulation: ubilvad shelo yiskavi lotzut. It's interesting. Again, before we see the details here of absecration, but just in theory, if we assume that as a result of the prisas machzeles, the bees have no way out. Anyone who's inside of this machzeles is totally trapped. Then he did a maleches tzeda on this what?
Hive.
On this bee, on this hive. On the bees in the hive. So the Gemara says it's okay. Why? U'bilvad shelo yiskavim lotzut.
he didn't want to trap them.
He's not interested in trapping the thing. He's just trying to protect them from the sun or from the rain. Rabbo said, what does that sound like? I'm very excited about this. What do you mean, ubilvad shalo is kaveh latzut? Well, I don't get it. Maybe it's a psikresha. We'll see the Gemara later on. The question is whether the Girsa is correct or not. That's a different story. We'll get to that too. But this would be a perfect source for the Rambam. The Rambam says in Seiras Nachosh, since I'm not miskaven, lotzud, it's part of a loss of a limatu for the sake of Tsar. Where did the Rambam get it from? So we suggested that logically he might have equated it with Ein Bemino Nitzo. Then here also he's not interested in saying that it's like Ein Bemino Nitzo. Okay, it's a good svara, but you still need a source. The Rambam can't say this on his own. This is a Gevaldige Chiddush in Maleches Tzedah. Maybe he got it from here. Ah, but the question is, does the Rambam have the gears to the next line in the Gemara?
But if it's Ein Bemino Latzud, the Kavana changes it?
No, I'm saying it's Bemino Latzud, but the lack of Kavana makes it into Ein Bemino Latzud. Kaviyachal, I don't mean that literally. But now the question is, is this really a source for the Rambam? Because the Gemara, the next line, seems to blow this all away. The Gemara says, "Ubilvad shalo is kavin latzud, asan l'Rabbi Shib." The Omer Dabeshenim is kavin muta. So it's not the way we said it that it's a definition of Maleches Tzedah, but rather it's a universal principle of Rav Shimon. We're applying Rav Shimon to Dover Shenim is kavin. So the Gemara says you can't do that. Why? Because it's a secretion. So Gemara goes ahead and says there are holes in the machzalos, and therefore the bees could possibly get out, and therefore it's not a secretion. Very strange Tosis here on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, and Tosis says, "Vitema line 4, the mode of shivit with secretion, lo nichale." I'm sorry, Psikresha Miloyomas. So the Rasha asks a very simple question. The Gemara asks this question. Why would Tosis repeat word for word the Gemara's question? In other words, if you read the Gemara the way we have it, it says in the Gemara Vitisbara, how do you help, what do you gain by Ubilvad Shalo Yiskavin in any event? You're going to quote Reb Shimon of Dovashen and Miskavim as Psikresha. And now Tosis asks the identical question. And he answers the name of Shmuel and Reb Moshe. He says, the Yesh Char Katan B'Kaveres. Okay, fine. There's some way they can get out. But Vosefis Tosis would repeat the Gemara's Kasha. So the Marsha here says something really, really way out. And that is that Tosis didn't have this Girsa. The whole discussion here about secretion with Reb Shimon was an invention of Tosis, because Tosis didn't have it in his text. Rashi added, but Tosis did. And the Marsha says, I'll prove it to you, because this sugya here in Masechta Beitza, word for word, appears in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Mem Gimel, and there the Mitzvara of the Amish Rabbi, Moder Reb Shimon secretion laws is not there at all. So what's happens to Gemara? Has it here and not there? So I'm not a Talmudic scholar here. You know, this really, you have to go to university for this. I'm not, that's not my thing. I never studied Talmud in university. But the Marsha says that the Tosfos didn't have the Girsa. So I'm going to be a chutzpahnik, and I'm going to say the Rambam didn't have that Girsa. Now, if the Rambam didn't have that Girsa, then Hadra Kushis Atosis Leduchta. How could the Gemara possibly say that since he's not miskaming Latzud, it's going to be Mutter? And therefore, he could be Paris Machzeles because he doesn't have Kavana Latzud. But after all, it's a Psikresha. So if the Gemara didn't ask the question, we have to ask this question. So Tosis came up with an answer that it's not a Psikresha because it's a Char Katan, blah, blah, blah. The Rambam didn't mention anything about a Char Katan. The Rambam just mentions that he didn't have Kavana Latzud. Because the Rambam doesn't have this whole discussion about Dovashenim is coming with Psikresha. The Rambam holds him Melech HaTzedah. It all depends on whether he had kavanah latzur or he didn't have kavanah latzur. So when the Rambam read this brisa, the brisa says, "Parsa matzels al gavi kaveres b'shavis ubilvad shelo yiskavi latzur." The Rambam understood the Gemara was making a new breakthrough and establishing a new condition in Meleches Tzedah. So Rabbosai, just to summarize what we're saying so far, Meleches Tzedah requires Kavanah B'guf HaMelacha. It's not just the Tnai of Kavanah in universal terms. And according to the Rambam Shita, we can begin to understand why in the case of Tzedas Nocha, Shalom Nizok, why that's Mutter, even though the Rambam Paskins Vlach Shein Tzuch L'guf is Chayev. We begin to understand why the Rambam holds in the case of Machzeles that even if it would be a psik reish, you'd still be allowed to put the Machzeles on because of Bilvad Shelo Yiskavi Latzud. And in effect, what we're doing is we're extending the Magid Mishnah, who speaks about Meleches Makom HaPatish in these terms, and the Rambam in Mafis Bursa says that it's only because he's Miskavein Lasos Laper. And in the case of Mechaber with Mitzaref, where the Magid Mishnah again insists that the Rambam's language is crystal clear, that he had Kavanah to make it into a Kli. So those Malachas require Kavanah. Here's another Malacha that requires Kavanah. Now, if you ask me why it requires Kavanah, so number one, because there's a separate Halacha of Bimino Nitzod, and if we extend that, it means that he's decided that it's not a Nitzod. And secondly, as I said to Yechiel, as a possibility, that because the whole nature of Meleches Tzedah is to take something and dominate something, you know, v'kivshua, that's what Meleches Tzedah is all about. It's all about kibush. If I'm not interested in kibush, then that's not called Meleches Tzedah. Okay. Again, we're still left with the kasha. The Gemara Beit Zel also assumes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Dovah Shein Miskavin is Chayav, he wouldn't allow you to be Poris Machzelis. And according to the way we're saying it, if it's a din and a definition in the Kishkis and the essence of Meleches Tzedah, why can't Rabbi Yehuda accept that as well? Okay. So what I'm hoping to get to, but I want to lead up to it, is the Me'iri, a very, very fascinating Me'iri in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Gimel. Maybe, Yechiel, if you have a chance, you could print down the Me'iri on Daf Kuf Gimel as we speak. If not, I'll just say it Baal Peh. Okay. But let's leave that on the side. But also, I want to talk to you for a minute about Meleches Mechaber. Because the Rambam uses Meleches Mechaber as the paradigm of a melacha shein etzricha legufa.
You're just interested in the results, that's why.
Which results? That's the big question. And I claim that there's something here in the Rambam, if we read it carefully, that's pretty sensational. Now on the question of what results is he interested in the case of kibbutz. Again, let's learn the Rambam once again from the top. Kol ha'ose melacha b'shabbos, afal pisha eino tzarech legufa shel melacha chayav olev. Ketzad. So the Rambam now is going to give you an example of a melacha shein etzricha legufa for which you chayav. Perek alf halacha zayin. Harei shekava es haner. And now the Rambam is going to tell you what he's interested in as far as kibui haner. And Tosfos will soon see as a definite answer to this question, but the Rambam completely omits it. He says, "Mipneshu tzarech l'shemen." What does he mean, tzarech l'shemen?
He wants to save it.
Exactly. He's very frugal, so to speak. I don't mean it in a pejorative sense, but I mean to say he needs the shemen. And if it continues burning, all the shemen will be
used
up, combusted, whatever word you use. Or the psila, if he needs the psila, he needs the wick. You know, wicks were expensive too. Kidei shelo yi'aved, kidei shelo yisaref. Then he has another case that he's putting it out, kidei shelo yivaka cheres shel ner. In other words, sometimes the heat is so intense that the receptacle itself, if it's made of a certain substance, he calls it earthenware, it might crack. In all these cases, the Rambam says, it's a melacha shein etzricha legufa v'chayev. Why you chayev? Because you chayev even for a melacha shein etzricha legufa. And he says, mipnei sha'kibui melacha V'arei niskavim l'chavos. The Rambam says all we need is what?
Kavana
for kivui. He's doing the kivui for other extraneous reasons. He wants to save himself, the shemen, the psila, or the cheres. That's eidet tzrich legufa, yechayef. As long as he has kavana for kivui. Oh. So Abosai, I want to show you that this Rambam is against Tosis, which doesn't bother me. The Rambam has the right to argue with Tosis, but that I want to show you that there's a machlokas here between the Rambam and Tosis. The Rambam holds that whether it's considered malacha tzricha legufa or ain't tzricha legufa, the Rambam says it depends whether he needs the kibui. If he doesn't need the kibui because he really wants to just protect the shem and the psil, etc., that's ain't tzricha legufa. But if he needs the kibui, but both say it won't be the classical case according to the Rambam of a malacha tzricha legufa in kibui. He needs darkness, no? I mean, he needs kibui. What is kibui? Kibui means get rid of the light. That would be a malacha tzricha legufa, but he doesn't need darkness. He only needs something extraneous. He needs to save himself the psila of the shemen. But Tosa says no. If he needs darkness, that's called a malacha shena tzricha legufa. Where's the Tosis? On Daf Tzadidah. Let's take a look on Daf Tzadidah. This is the famous Tosis that we mentioned 2 days ago. It was famous even before we mentioned it. And that's the Tosis Divya Maskel Reb Shiv. V'nira l'ri. The malacha shena tzricha legufa kari kisha osa malacha v'ein tzorech li oso tzorech ke'ein shayu tzricha wa b'mishkan. As we said 2 days ago, the sheet of the Ri is to introduce Mishkan. You want to know what's malacha shen tzricha legufa? Ask yourself, Mishkan. What did they do in the Mishkan? So for example, if they needed it in the Mishkan for X, and he needs it li'inyan acher, and it's not the tzorech that they needed in the Mishkan, that's called a malacha shen tzricha legufa. And therefore he says, Otsa is a mess. In Otsa, you need to get it to a certain place. Aval eino tzarech lemes. Meaning he doesn't need the mess to go out there. He just needs to get rid of the mess from here. That's eino tzricha legufa. The Mishkan, hayu tzricha lechafatzu shotziu. Now I'm giving you the chafetz over there because you need it over there. Tzad nachash. If it's shalo yishacheno, he's just protecting himself from the shicha. Is eino tzarech l'nachash. Right, the malach itself is the nachash. Ube mishkan, hayitzrichim l'tachash, and l'chilazon, etc., etc. Mafis mursa l'hotzi lecha. Right, and he doesn't need a pesach l'hachnes u'lahotzi. He says, that's called a malacha shena tzricha l'gufa. Fine. Chofer guma, eino tzarech el yafra, b'mishkan yitzrichim leguma. They needed the guma. This is Tosa Shita. That malach yitzrich legufa means he doesn't need the karka, and in the mishkan they needed the karka. Oh, and then he says, ukechas al aner v'al hashemen v'al psila. So he's putting it out because he's chas. He wants to save himself the shem and the psila or the ner. Is eino tzricha legufa. Why? Shebe mishkan lahaya kibui el lasos pchamim be kibui zeh. So the kibui itself gave him an availability, accessibility to pchamim. I don't know how you could call that in English, charcoals or something along that line, whatever you want to call it. So the tikkun here is to create pchamim. So the cheftza meleches kibui then is the pecham. If he's not interested in the pecham, then it's a malach shein tzricha legufa. The Rambam says he's not interested in the pecham. In fact, the Rambam doesn't mention a word about the pecham. The Rambam wants to know if he's interested in the kibui, or he doesn't want the kibui, he just wants the ner, or the shemen, or the psila. And in fact, I'll show you another Rambam. The Rambam, in Perek Yud Beis, when he speaks about Meleches Kibui, he says the following. One second. Hamachaba kol shu chayev. Echad hamachaba saner, echad hamachaba sagacheles. Fine. Then the Rambam goes into mitzarif. How many times does the Rambam mention pecham? Not once. I mean, according to Tosfos, the essence of Moleches Mechabe is to create pecham. The Rambam doesn't add that. It's very odd that the Rambam should have... So, Mimonashah, in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, when the Rambam wants to tell you what's a Moleches She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa in Kibui, he doesn't mention a word about the fact that he's not interested in the Pecham, which is Tosfos' definition of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. And in his Perek Yud Beis, when he defines Moleches Kibui, he doesn't mention anything about creating a Pecham. So it seems to me that according to the Rambam, Moleches Kibui means just what it means. Moleches Kibui. What's the Tzricha L'Gufa? I need the Kibui. If I need the Kibui, that makes it into a Tzricha L'Gufa. If I'm not interested in the Kibui, it's just that I want to save the Nair. So that's a secondary, it's a little bit Rabosei reminiscent of what we discussed 2 days ago about Shitas Rashi. But it's not the same as Rashi. I don't want you to equate the two, but there's one overlap here, one Nakuda that's similar to Rashi. Rashi said that Shalom Mirtzono Balo, Elikantatzilo Meahezek. You know, I'm using, you know, remember we had the Merkavas HaMishnah 2 days ago. The Merkavas HaMishnah wanted to learn in Rashi and other Rishon and the Ramban that Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa means that I'm only being Masalik, I don't have a positive Hana from the Malach. It's a little bit similar, but the Rambam doesn't mean I need a positive Hana from the Malach. That's not what the Rambam means. The Rambam is only demonstrating... He wants to illustrate that I don't need the kibui itself, the maisa malacha kibui. How do you know I don't need the maisa malacha kibui? Because if my shemen would have been locked up in a closet, I wouldn't have needed the kibui. The problem is that the nair itself, as long as it's doleg, is eating up my shemen. And therefore I need the kibui. But I don't really need the kibui. And the Rambam holds that makes it into a malacha shenet tzricha l'gufa and yechayev. Why? Because he had kavana to do kibui. We're not interested in whether he wants the kibui, he doesn't want the kibui, he had kavana to do kibui. So it's very interesting here that Rambam said that malacha shenet tzricha l'gufa, according to Tosfos, requires us in every single case of a malach to go back to the Mishkan and decide what was the need in the Mishkan, what was the chefza that was rectified or improved upon, and the tikkun was in a certain chefetz. In kibui, Tosa says, the kibui in the Mishkan was for the sake of pchamim. If he's not interested in pchamim, that makes him to malach shenet tzricha l'gufa. The Rambam doesn't seem to know anything about that. In fact, I would say that according to the Rambam, Mishkan doesn't even play a role here in my definition of malach shenet tzricha l'gufa. The question is, do I need a malacha? Or am I just trying to save myself and spare myself from some extraneous loss? The problem I have with the Rambam is that it's against the Mishnah, or at least the way the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. If you take a look on Daf Chavtes Amid Beis, says Rav Yossi Poter Bekulon, as far as Kibui is concerned, Rav Yossi Pater's all these cases where he puts it out because he's afraid they'll find him, he's afraid of a Ruach Ra. And he says, why? Chutzman HaPsila. The case where he wants to save the Psila because Shehu Osa Pecham. Correct, but he's only Chayav because he's Osa Pecham, right? And the Gemara goes ahead here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis and analyzes the Shita Rabbi Yossi, linking it up with Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa. And the Gemara finally says, in the name of Ravada Barava, this is about seven lines up before the end of the Amud, Hacha b'psila shetzarech lahavav haskinon, tibahi afilu Reb Shimon Modi, tekometakin mona. So language of the Gemara is very difficult, but if you take a look at Rashi says that in this case, he's not a chos al psila, Rashi says, but kveshal lahavava, Rashi says that it's an osa pecham, that he's miskaven lasos kimin pecham, and that makes it a kibui hatzarech legufo. So this is Rashi like Tosfos, that when the Gemara establishes that according to Rav Shimon, you'd be chayav for this kibui, that's only because it's an osa pecham. Pechem, and the Gemara identifies Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yossi says that Yechayev in this case because it's a tzarch legufo, says Rashi, because he needs the Pechem. So I'm not sure exactly how to reconcile the Rambam with this sugya, or this sugya with the Rambam, but for this you really have to be totally involved in this sugya. There's Rabbi Yochanan, there's Ula, there's a whole presentation here in this sugya. Okay. Now, Rabosa, I want to talk to you about Meleches Gozes. And what's Melech Shein Tzricha Legufa in Meleches Gozes? So here we have a Ramban. I have the Ramban somewhere. Oh, I found it. So if you don't have the Ramban, you can borrow this one. I have a photocopy here. And he writes the following. This is on Daf Kuvav Amud Aleph. Says the Ramban, Dibar Maskil, the Ein Ani Omer King. The issue here is whether or not in Meleches Chabura, whether or not Mila is considered a Melacha Hatzricha Legufa, meaning he's taking out the Dam. Does he need to take out the Dam? Says the Ramban, Mila Vadai Melacha Hatzricha Legufa. Why? Shu Tzarech Shiyya Adam Ze Mohu. By taking out the dam, the person is a mohel. And the Ramban goes ahead and he equates it with two other malachas. And that is gozes, in the case of the netilas tziparnayim, which the Ramban says is called a malacha tzricha legufa. So nail cutting, Rabbos say nail cutting. Right. Is that a malacha tzricha legufa or ain't a tzricha legufa? He's high for gozes. It's a little bit different than shearing off the wool from the back of the sheep, because what are you going to do with the wool? You're going to make it into threads and when you make yourself a good woolen sweater. But in the case of netilas tziparnayim, what are you going to do with the tziparnayim?
Throw them
away. But the Ramban insists, no, that's called a malacha tzricha legufa. And then he goes ahead and he says, v'chein azoreh v'haborer. In the case of Zoreh, what happens to the chaff? It flies with the wind, right? He's not taking home the chaff. And just like in the Tilas Tziparnayim, he's not taking home the Tziparnayim, he's throwing it in the rubbish. So too in the case of Zoreh. And then Boreh. Boreh is Psoles Mitoch Ochel, correct, at least in the classical Boreh. And yet he's not taking the Psoles home with him, he's throwing it in the rubbish. He has no interest in the Psoles. So the Ramban says that in the case of Mila, he's not interested in the dam, but nevertheless, it's called the Malacha Tzricha Legufa, and he equates that with the cases of Netilas Tziparnayim and Gozes, and Meleches Zoreh and Borer, and in all these cases, even if he's not interested in which he's taking, let me focus for a minute on the case of Netilas Tziparnayim. We have the Gufo Shel Adam, and we have the Dovar Nigzas. Like in the sheep, we have the Gufo Shel sheep, and we have the Dovar Nigzas, which is the wool. So in the case of the wool, he needs the wool, correct? He needs the Dovar Nigzas. But right? But in the case of the Til Sivanayim, what does he need? The Guf or the Dovar Nigzas? He needs the Guf. Well, in the case of Borer, says the Rabban, what does he need? He needs the Yochel that's left. That's like the Guf. So the tikkun is on the goof. In the case of Zoreh, what does he need? He needs the grains. That's also like the goof. So you see, says the Ramban, that even though in the case of Netilas Tziparnayim, he doesn't need the Dovar Nigzas, but nevertheless, since he needs the goof, that makes him to Malacha Tzricha Legufa. And based on this whole presentation, the Ramban concludes that Mila is considered a Malacha Tzricha Legufa. And Tosus disagrees. Where's the Tosus? On Daf Tzadi Dalid Amid Beis. So let's open the Daf Tzadi Dalid Amid Beis. And we're looking at Dibra Maskil Aval. Everybody have that Tosis? Tosis says that Netilas Tziparnayim is Chayov. If he uses a Kli, okay, that's a different sugya. Hainu l'Rabbi Yehuda. Says Tosis, who's going to be Mechayev you for Netilas Tziparnayim? That's only Rabbi Yehuda. The Mechayev, b'malacha sheni tzricha legufa. So how does Tosis define netilas tzipernayim? Malacha sheni tzricha legufa. The Ramban says that netilas tzipernayim is a malacha tzricha legufa, and therefore even Reb Shimon would be machayev you. The Tosis says no, only Reb Yehuda would be machayev you. So to explain the Ramban, we have a stipler. I was going to ask you, Alan, to bring in your stipler, but I didn't get a chance to do so. So I have a summary, which I hope you got, on page 2 of your Yomar Makomos. Yeah? Does everybody have that?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, does anybody know which yeshiva the stipler learned in as a youth? It's very interesting, because in my mind, like the stipler... Yeah, no, for sure it wasn't. No, not even in Rav Gorelick's. he learned in a yeshiva called Navardik. It's very interesting because, you know, when we think of Navardik, automatically we associate with what?
Musa.
With Musa. And a very, I'll use the word unique Musa shita. I'm not going to give it a grade here, but a very unique Musa shita. But the stipler actually learned in Navardik. There's a very famous story. Did I ever tell you the story? I forgot where I saw it. Reb Chaim Shulevitz was the Rosh Hashiva of Navarik's nephew. His name was Rav Avram Yafin. So he came to visit his uncle in Navarik, and he asked his uncle, it's a chutzpahdika question, but he asked his uncle, who's the best bacher in the yeshiva? So Rav Yafin goes like this. He points to a guy on the right, and he says, he's the amkin of the yeshiva. Then he points to a guy on the left, and he says, this guy is the biggest lamdan in the yeshiva. Then he points to this guy, he says, this guy's the biggest masvid in the yeshiva. Then he points to another guy, he says, the biggest Yerush HaMayim in the yeshiva. Another guy, he's the biggest Baal Musa in the yeshiva. So Reb Chaim says to his uncle, I didn't ask you who's the greatest, I asked you who's the best bacher in all yeshiva. So Reb Yafin says, come with me. And he goes to the back of the Beis Medrash in a little corner, and he points to again, he's the best bacher in the yeshiva. So Reb Chaim says, I don't understand. You just finished telling me that this guy's the best Amkin, this guy's the best Lam, this guy's the best Masmi. So who's this guy? He says, you don't understand. He's the biggest Mavakeshes HaTorah. He wants Torah more than anything else. And that makes him the best Bacha Nishi. And who was that? That was the Stipe. That was Reb Yaakov Kenevsky.
So you're saying that his learning in Navarik was a Malach Shein Tzrich LeGufa.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Alright, so what does the stipler want to say? He claims, the stipler, that there are three malachas, he's going to try to add a fourth malacha, the stipler, which are not malachos in the guf, they're not malachos in the dovra nigzaz, but rather in separating the two. The essence of these three malachos is the hafrada, separating the two. And therefore, it doesn't matter which you're interested in taking home. I don't care whether you're interested in the wool, or the tzipar naim according to the Ramban, or you're interested in the guf, because the malach is done both, equally both to the guf and the davar nigzas. The whole thrust of the malach is to separate the guf from the davar nigzas. And make sure they're in two different piles, so to speak. So let's take, for example, Borer. The Maleches Borer is to separate the Ochel and the Psalis. I don't care which one you're taking home and which one you're using. As long as you achieve a Maleches Hafrada, that's the Tzorach of the Malach. Or, for example, a Maleches Zorah, you want to separate the chaff from the kernels of wheat. Whether or not you're taking home the chaff is irrelevant to us. And therefore the Ramban says the Maleches Gozeis, the Malach is not on the Dovra Nigzaz, that would have been our intuitive understanding, and therefore the Malach is taking the wool. Nay, the Malach is separating the wool from the goof of the Behemoth. And in the case of the Netilas Tzipernayim, it's separating the Tzipernayim from the goof. And therefore he says, the Ramban is very consistent by grouping together these malachas. So we have Gozeis, Borer, and Zoreh, all of which are malachas that are done both in the Guf and in the Dovra Nigzaz, insofar as your malach is to separate the two. Ubahani, in these three malachas, Sover Aramban, Shegamim ein tikun bechelek hanifrad, even if the Dovra Nigzaz is not what you're interested in, For example, Tiyusli Parnaim in the Ramban, he's going to throw it in the Ramban. But Kevet Sheyesh Tzorech Bechelek HaNishar, meaning in the Guf, that itself is Hanah from the Malacha, because the Malacha is to have a separation between the Guf and the Dovra Nigzas. Then he quotes Rabbi Zalman Meltz. What does Rabbi Zalman Meltz have to say? He says that according to the Ramban, I don't understand. The Gemara says that Zomer is not chayav from Aleches Kotzer unless what? Who remembers the Gemara? I think we mentioned it 2 days ago. Tzarech Lietzen. Tzarech Lietzen. So he says the following. Who cares whether it's Tzarech Lietzen or not? He should be chayav for the Ktzir itself. The Ktzir itself means he wants to separate the Peros from the Elon. Or in the case of Ktsira, he wants to separate these branches from the rest of the tree, right? Because these branches he could use, or maybe he can't use, but it improves the productivity of the tree, and so forth and so on. So why do we need to say that if he doesn't need the branches that he's cutting off, that becomes a Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and he's not Chayef from Malachas Kotzer? Malachas Kotzer means Hafrada, separating the Peros from the tree. And if he's separating the Peros from the tree, and he has benefit from that, or in this case, separating the branches from the tree, and he has benefit from that.
It doesn't have benefit.
Well, the tree benefits.
That's Zoreah. Yes, maybe not.
That's Zoreah. You read your Chay because of Zoreah, not because of Kotzer.
Again, what he's saying is that if Maleches Kotzer is going to be subsumed as Hafrada, then what it means is that it doesn't matter to me whether the tree benefits from it or whether the peros or the branches that he takes off benefit from it, right? Let's go back to Gozes for a second. I don't care what your benefit is. Is your benefit that which you're taking, I called it the Dovra Nigzaz, or it's the Guf? Either way, you need to separate the two. In Maleches Kotzer, I need to separate that which is growing from the tree itself. And therefore, it's irrelevant, even if my Hana is not in the tree, but rather in the branches, or the other way around, I should say. Even if my Hana is not in what? In the branches, but it's in the tree. Did I get it right this time? Yeah. I'm not interested in the branches. I'm not making a bonfire. So the Gemara says, I'm part. So the Evan Ezel asked, why isn't that the same as Gozes? Right? I'm not interested in the Tziparnai. And the Ramban says, but I'm interested in the Guf. I'm interested in the Guf because now the tree is in better shape without these branches. That itself should make it into Maleches Kotzer.
Yeah, but is it possible that there's more than one way to be Kotzer?
No.
In other words,
Again. Alan, before you say this, what I need you to do, here's what I need you to do.
Benefiting the tree doesn't help there.
Why not?
I'm interested in benefiting from the tree.
So that's what the stipler wants to say. Take a look. Tiretz Hakilus Yaakov, you have it? It's the third line of the left column. Shiny Kotzer. Kotzer is different than that group, that membership group that we had before. Eino Maleches Hafrada. The Malach of Ktsira is not to separate the fruits from the tree or the branches from the tree. And Kotzer in Etzar Eitz, he's not interested in the Eitz. He's interested in the Peros. The Malach of Kotzer is taking the Peros from the tree. The Einzu Maleches Hafrada, it's not separating the Peros from the tree, but rather, it's taking the Peros from the tree. If he's not interested in the Peros from the tree, that's a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, even according to the Ramban. And he goes on to say, for example, if the tree, let's say, is not Mechubel Akarka, you're not going to be Chai for Kotzer, even though the tree is affected or impacted the same way, whether it's in the Karka or it's not in the Karka. But the answer is that the question is whether you're Chai for taking the Peros. And if the Peros are not connected to the Karka, there's no Unika, you're not Chai for Kotzer. Again, we're both saying, just to summarize, because I want to get to the punchline of this. According to the stipler, the club, there's an exclusive club. You know, not every Malacha could gain membership to this club. This is called the Hafrada Club, which means that the essence of the Malach is to separate two things. And the membership of that club has the following three Malachas in it. Right? The punchline is going to add a fourth malach. But the three malachas are, number one, gozes. And gozes doesn't mean taking something away from the animal, but rather separating that which grows and is attached to the animal from the animal, whether I gain from because the animal is improved, or if I gain because what I take away is an improvement for me and I need that. Either way, that's called a malach hatzricha legufa. So for example, in the case of shearing wool, the reason why I'm chayv mishum gozes is because I need the wool. In the case of the tzipornayim, I need the guf to be without the tzipornayim. Either way, I'm going to be chayv. And the other two malachas that belong to this group are borer and zora. I don't need the psolus, but I need to separate the psolus from the ochel. In fact, what I need is the ochel without the psolus, but that is meleches borer. In the case of Zoreh, I need to separate the chaff from the kernels. But in the case of Malachas Kotzer, and here he's arguing with Rabbi Zalman, the Malach is not separating the fruits from the tree. The Malach is taking the fruits from the tree. I need the fruits. If I don't need the fruits, then even the Ramban would say it's a Malach Shein Tzri Kalagufa. The Malach is not a Malachas Hafrada. Alan, you want to give another pshat?
No, I
like this pshat. Why do I like this pshat? Not because I don't like your pshat, Alan. I like this pshat because it's Mineu Bey. You understand? I can't explain that. You know what I mean by Mineu Bey is that I don't have to go off into this, into that, and introduce variables and other questions. It's Mineu Bey. What is a Malechas Hafrada? And we have three categories, three cases of Malechus Hafrada. And the question of the stipler versus Rabbi Zalman is whether or not Malechus Kotzer is a Malechus Hafrada. Came along with Rabbi Zalman. He said, you know what? Kotzer is the same as Gozes. Because just like in the case of Gozes, you're detaching something, so to the case of Kotzer, you're detaching something. Meaning, the whole thrust of the Malacha is the attachment. I want to undo that attachment. I don't want this attachment. If I don't want the attachment, it doesn't matter what I gain from it. If I gain because this is detached from that, or that is detached from this, I don't want the detachment.
But that's not what that's.
Comes along the stipler and he says, name, that's not Malechus Kotzer. The Malechus Kotzer is not that I don't want the detachment. There may be an attachment that even the attachment is perfectly, how should I say, solid, and yet I'm not chayv for Kotzer. I'm only chayv for Kotzer when I take the peros and I detach them. If I detach them from an eitz, let's say I have a piece of, let's say for example, you have a cluster of grapes, right? So the grapes are on the, what do you call it, stems? I don't know what word you want to use, right? So I pluck it out. Why is that malechus kotzer? The answer is because the grapes are not mechuba lekarka. Yeah, but as far as the stem is concerned, what difference does it make? You know, you've separated the fruits from the stem. The answer is the malacha is in the fruits. And what's the malacha in the fruits? Oker dover migidula. That he took the fruits and he took it out of gidula. I don't understand Rabbi Zalman.
What if there's no peros?
Not because I learned in Navarik. I just don't understand.
What if there's no peros?
He learned it in Salvatka. Yeah, what?
What if a tree that doesn't have peros? And he's trimming the dead wood off of
you. So what does he do with the dead wood? So here's what the Ramban would say. If he doesn't need the dead wood, he's just improving the growth productivity of this Ilan Srak.
Yeah.
That's called Meleches Zomer. And he's not chayv for kotzer. If on the other hand, he's got to feed his campfire, and therefore he wants to take the branches, the branches become like fruit. There's no gzeres hakos that has to be fruit. Okay. Now he wants to add a fourth malacha to this group. Because after all, the Ramban introduced Gozes, Borer, and Zoreh in order to justify his position about Meleches Mila. That Mila is a malacha tzricha legufa. Says the Kilos Yaakov, Zui Kavanas Ramban, the Kevan de Mairi B'Mila, he hafrodas hadam mina adam. I don't know if he means the dam or the arlus. I'm not sure.
It must be the dam.
You're not happy with this, Mitch. I'm also not happy with this. Yeah, I don't know if he means dam or arlus. I'm not sure. But whatever it is. But again, what the punchline here, Rabosai, is that according to the stipler, what the Ramban meant to say was that why is mila considered a meleches? Malacha tzricha legufa, because the malacha safrada. I'm separating two things. Which am I gaining from? Is it the dovra nigzas or the guf?
The guf.
But so what? We just finished saying that in Itilas Sipranayim, and in Borer, and in what? And in Zorah. It's the goof, and that makes it into Malach HaTzrich L'Gufa. Here also, it's the goof. But the Pella of it is, he writes, that this Malach belongs to that category that we had before, of Malach HaSafrada. Hilchach, Sagi, Sheyesh HaNomi HaAdam, Afol Pishen HaNemim HaDam. So again, the reason why he puts the emphasis on the Dam Rabosai is because we're talking about which Malacha Rabosai in Mila. Why did the Torah have to permit Mila? If not, it would have been awesome. Feels the Shama. What's the Neshama here? He's not killing the person, Chas V'Shalom, right? He's taking the Dam, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. So the Stipler wants to focus on the Dam, and he's saying, well, you know, in the case of Shechita, let's say, for example, in Kodshim, I need the Dam, right? I need the Dam for Zrika. Or the Gemara has a case where he needs the Dam because it reddens the, you know, the Beis HaShechita and so forth and so on. So he needs the Dam. Or just because the Basar is Asar as long as the Dam is inside, so he needs to take out the Dam. Whatever the case may be. So you would say that Milo, where he's not interested in the Dam, he's only interested in the Gufo Shel Adam, that should be Malach Sheni Tzricha LeGufa. Comes over the Ramban, and he says, even though he doesn't need the Dam, but he needs to improve the Adam. And that makes it into what? A Malach HaTzricha LeGufa. Why is it a Malach HaTzricha LeGufa if he's not interested in the Dam? The Malach is Hotzos HaDam. So the Stipler, it's a Malach HaSafrada. That's what the Ramban had in mind. It's a bit strange, no? Yeah. To call this a Malachas HaFrada? That the essence of my Malach is to separate the Dam from the Guf? And therefore, what difference does it make whether I'm improving the Dam or improving the Guf? What do I want? What am I taking? Maybe it's a new definition of what Mila is all about. I don't know. That to me is a little bit of a paradox.
Why is it the Shulman?
That's an interesting question. I would say the following. That, right, keep in mind, the Gemara quotes Mila in order to prove, again, this is way off the target for us today, but in order to prove that Makalkel B'chabur is Chayef. In other words, the Gemara understood that Mila, the Torah would have asked Mila, except for the overriding drush, the drush that's Matamil, right, because of Malechas Chabura. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, it's a kilkel because the baby is weak. So the Gemara answers, this is the source from Shimon that Makalkel B'chabura is Chayef. That the one Malach out of 39, where you Chayef, even though it's Makalkel, is Malechas Chabura. Again, that's a whole other sugi. I don't know, Rabbi, I can't help you with that sugi. But what I mean to say is that Mila is being analyzed under the Malach of what? Of Netil of Chabura. The rabbi is asking an excellent question. What happened to Makom HaPatish? Maybe by improving his status, now he can eat Truma, and he can enter to the Migdash, he can crunch it, blah, blah, blah. And maybe that should be Makom HaPatish. I don't know. I honestly, Tzarech Iyun Gadol. But the Gemara is talking about Meleches Chabur. So Rabosai, I'm just wondering if we can answer this question of the Ramban in a whole different way. And completely circumvent the Kilus Yaakov. The Ramban means something totally different. We said, when we analyzed the Rambam's definition of Malach HaTzricha LeGufa, the question is whether he needs the Malach or not. And the Ramban holds that the Torah commands the father to circumcise his son and make his son into a mohel. He needs that Malach. So, for example, in the case of Gozes in Atilas Tziparnayim, the Ramban says it's a Meleches, it's a Melech HaTzricha LeGufa. Why is it Tzricha LeGufa? He's not in the least bit interested in the Tziparnayim. The answer is because he needs the Melech itself. He needs to separate. Again, my point is, I don't need to call Mila a Melech HaSafrada. I just have to go back to the drawing board and ask myself the question, what is a Malach HaShenet Tzricha LeGufa? We're operating within the framework of Tosfos. And Tosfos says, Malach HaShenet Tzricha LeGufa means I don't need this Chefza, I need this Chefza. I don't need, when I take the mess out of the bias, I don't need the mess to be in a certain place. I need the bias to be without the mess. So I got the wrong Chefza. In the case of Kofar Guma, I don't need the Karka, I just need the Afar. And therefore, the question is, well, Does he need the Tzipornayim? In the case of classical Gozes, he needs the Dovr HaNigzaz, and so forth and so on. So we had to redefine Meleches Gozes. But what I want to think with you is maybe the Ramban should not be, we shouldn't be working with a premise that the Ramban fits into the framework of Shitas HaTosvis about how to define a Melech HaTzricha LeGufa, that we go back to the Mishkan and we decide what Chefetz they need in the Mishkan. So in the case of Gozes, they needed the wool, right, to make the Ureals or whatever have you. So therefore, the Ramban was stuck with this Kasha. Why should Netil Tzipornayim be Chayev on Shabbos according to Reb Shimon? And Tosfos drew the proper conclusions that Eino Chinami, the whole Gemara of Netilas Tzipornayim is only Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. The Ramban was not willing to go down that way. He thought that Netilas Tzipornayim is a Malach of Goseis, even according to Reb Shimon. Where's the Tzricha Legufa? The answer is because he needs the Netilas Tzipornayim. If he needs the Netilas Tzipornayim, then he needs the Malacha. If he needs the Malach, it's not like the case that the Rama mentioned in Kibui, where he's just trying to save himself the cost of his Shemin or Psila. And so too says the Ramban, the Torah commands me to do Mila, I need the Mila. If I need the Mila, that makes it into a Malach HaTzricha LeGufa. In other words, what the Ramban wants to do is, he wants to take us away, veer us away from we're mentally, psychologically anchored into the framework of Tosfos, that everything depends upon which Chefetz does he need. Says the Ramban, that's not my issue. My issue is, does he need the Malach itself? And I'm going to give you case after case where he has the wrong Chefetz, so to speak, from Tosfos' perspective, because he's not interested in the goof, he's not interested in the Dovr HaNigzaz, he's interested in the goof, like for example in Tilas Tzipornayim, so therefore the Tosfos, he signs it off, signs the death warrant, there's a Malach Shein Tzricha LeGufa. No way he can be Chayv according to Reb Shimon for the Tilas Tzipornayim. Says the Ramban, what are you talking about? Forget about this Cheftz or that Cheftz. I'll give you many Malachas. When the Malach itself is in the wrong Cheftz, and yet he's Chayv. Malach HaZorah is in the wrong Cheftz. Malach HaZorah is in the wrong Cheftz. Well, why did they do Borer in the Mishkan? Because they needed the Psoles? What were they doing with the Psoles? The answer is, I need the Borer. And if I need the Malach HaZorah, I need the Gufa Malacha. I'm not trying to save myself some bucks on the outside because it's raining through my roof. That's called the Malach HaTzricha LeGufa. Now here I need the Me'iri. Does anybody have the Me'iri?
I do. You tell me what the...
The Me'iri on Kuf Gimel.
No, I looked on Kuf Gimel. I didn't see Me'iri on the subject. So
maybe can you do a word search? Because I have a few words in the Me'iri on Kuf Gimel on an Aleph. Ve'hatam. Does that help you at all?
It's wonderful if you get the
result. Are you able to do a word search within the Me'iri?
I can, but Ve'hatam may appear a thousand times. But
So that's not good. So let's try something else. Ve'hatam, Shir of Yehuda. Let's see. Oseh. How about that? Oseh She'ein Miskaven. Oh, but that's also going to be a problem because I don't know how he spells Ein Miskaven.
Well, maybe this is me.
All right. Let me.
Kuf Gimel Amidav, you said,
right? Yeah, Kuf Gimel Amidav.
If he starts with Kolish Ulshin, is that possibly the right subject?
That's what I don't know. I'm honestly looking for just one line in the Me'iri. So, Rabosa, I'm going to read to you what I have, and I don't know if this is word for word the Me'iri. Okay, so B'li Neder for next year. When do we get together again?
Monday.
On Monday? So, B'li Neder for Monday. For Monday, I'll try to get you the language in the Me'iri. Okay, then, but here's what I have. The Me'iri is bothered by the following question. Let's open up for a second to Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Again, the Me'iri is on Kuf Gimel, but he's quoting the Gemara on Daf Mem Beis.
Maybe that'll be my...
Yeah, maybe that'll help you. Okay, if not, I'll find the Me'iri for you. I have the whole set of Me'iri, but...
I can print you the 3-4 pages.
No. I have a Me'iri at home. It's one line in the Me'iri. I don't... Okay. Frek the Gemara on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph on top. L'meimra de Shmuel Karabi Shimon Svirale. The Gemara comes out here that in a certain case of a Dovr Sheino Miskaven, Shmuel was matir. And the Gemara assumes that Shmuel was standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says, how could that be? V'amar Shmuel, mechabim gacheles shalmateches b'shus harabim, Bishvil shelo yizoku barabin. Avaloga chelish shel eitz. Okay, now this whole sugya about kibui gacheles, which means that he's either interested in the kibui itself or he's interested in protecting the rabbin because it's a danger to the rabbin, it all hinges on melacha sheni tzricha leguf. So Gemara says the following: Shmuel, by saying that gacheles shel eitz is asur, apparently is holding that melacha sheni tzricha legufa is chayav. Like who? Like Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
So the Gemara says, how could that be? Shmuel here, in this sugya of Meleches Mitzarev, holds that Dovah Sheinim is Kavin, like Rabbi Shimon. So watch what's going on here, Rabosai. This Gemara is apikursis, from my perspective. The biggest mistake you can ever make in Hilchas Shabbos is to equate Dovah Sheinim is Kavin with Melacha Sheinim Tzricha Legufa. If there's anything a Rebbe has to do, if he's teaching Masechta Shabbos, from the first day to the last, is to make sure that Talmidim understand that there's no connection between these two issues. There's one issue of Dovah Sheinim is Kavin, and there's another issue called Melacha Sheinim Tzricha Legufa. And never the twain shall meet. They don't overlap. Dovah Sheinim is Kavin is an issue of Kavana. It means that we're not talking about whether or not he needs it for X or Y or Z, what is his purpose? We're talking about whether he actually intended to do the malacha. You know, he was doing X and something else happened, right? You remember the case of Greiras Kisei V'Safsa. So he was Gor Kisei V'Safsa, he made Charitza. That's a Dovah Sheinim is Kavanah. Malach Sheinim Tzricha Legufa means he had full-fledged Kavanah for the malacha. The question is why? What motivated him? What was he interested in? So what is the Gemara talking about here? The Meiri goes wild over this Gemara. And if I had a Tosfos Rush, the Tosfos Rush goes wild over this Gemara. And the Magid Mishnah, everybody and their uncle tries to figure out what did the Gemara make this, in Hebrew we call it a tlut, an interdependence between Dovah Sheinim Miskaven and Melacha Sheinim Tzricha Legufa. So the Meiri adds one word over here. He says, I don't have the Lashon, but he says, Hatam, Shav Yehuda Ose Eino Miskaven Ki Miskaven. Unbelievable. Rabbi Yehuda, we thought Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care about Kavanah. Right? The whole Yisod of Rabbi Yehuda was what? Was that Dovah Sheinim Miskaven is Chayav.
Right.
He didn't have Kavanah. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care. Who cares whether he had Kavanah or not? You did a Malacha. You did an Avera. You're Chayav. Comes along the Meiri. He says, name. Rabbi Yehuda also believes in Kavanah. The Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda, thank you very much, is that a Dovah She'eino Miskaven is a Miskaven. So again, even without getting into the lump to see how a Dovah She'eino Miskaven is a Miskaven, we see one thing. That the Meiri is able to link up Melacha She'eino Tzricha Legufa with the issue of Dovah She'eino Miskaven. Why? Because if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though you didn't have intention for this malacha, it's as if you had intention in the malacha, then by the same token, the Gemara thinks that if you didn't need it for something, it's as if you did need it for something. So it comes out like this. No. No, it's not semantics. Try to listen up a little bit. I don't know how much time we have. Oh, not too much time. All right. So let's stop here for Mincha, because I don't want to miss Mincha. I have a very busy schedule today. I have a Skype share to Canada, so I don't want to miss Mincha, because the Skype share ends exactly when Shkia happens. So I'm in trouble if I don't catch Mincha. So I'm saved by the bell, but trust me, Rabbi, there's a lot of good, solid lumdus here. Okay, then? So we'll try to pick this up on Monday. Who can remember where we're holding on Monday? I have to write myself a note. But at least I have the meet you. Good.